Good morning. I'm Pastor Kathy Hart, the Associate Minister here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church, and I welcome you here on this Sunday after Easter. We had a wonderful time last week celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, and this week we are starting a new series called Faith in the Digital Age. Now, the digital age means the information age, which started really in the mid-20th century. And the digital part of it is all the technology that has most recently and rapidly been changing throughout time. But so it kind of began when, in about 1970, when the personal computer became popular. And so, you know, it's been around for several years, but you know, the digital age has probably been around a little bit longer than we might think. Because did you realize that Moses was the first person with a tablet to download data from the cloud? So a digital age has been around for a while, but seriously, we are talking about our most current digital age with all of the changes that have happened. Just in my lifetime alone is mind-blowing. My dad was a techie. He loved computers. He loved science fiction and all that stuff. And so I still remember our first computer from Radio Shack. I think it was a Tandy model. And so he was always working on the computer, and we always had to have the next and newest and best. But he also taught me to love science fiction, and I loved Star Trek, the original series. And the communicators, you remember, they flipped them like this. So my very first cell phone was a flip phone. I thought I was so cool. And then that became very passé very quickly, because in Star Trek Next Generation, their communicators became their badges right here. So everything changes. Technology is rapidly moving. And we can imagine, and then it becomes reality. Think about Disney, Imagineering, and how they predicted. When I was a kid back in the 1960s, and Disney was open, they had this thing called Carousel of Progress, and they would go through technology, and then the last scene was this wonderful scene of what they hoped to be. They've had to rewrite that, because what they had hoped was kids were going to be going to school online. And they were going to have these amazing video games that they could play instead of playing outside. And our houses were going to be smart houses where you could turn the lights on or start preheating the oven just by simply saying, Alexa, preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Now, all my online folks, your lunch will be ready in about 30 minutes. But it's amazing how rapidly all of this changes. And the most recent that I've been reading about is what's happening in artificial intelligence, the AI. There's this thing called chatbot, and you can communicate just like you're communicating with another human being, supposedly. Well, that involves fear, or invokes fear in me, because I remember all those movies where the artificial intelligence tried to take over the world, like HAL in 2001 Space Odyssey, or The Adventures of the Avengers, Ultron, the Age of Ultron, and Ultron was trying to take over the world. So we have to be careful how rapidly this technology changes. Sometimes it gets beyond us. And there are many advantages in this digital age. But there's many disadvantages too. We have to be cautious. But some of the advantages is that we have at our very fingertips the answers to any question. You can ask any question to Siri or Alexa, or just Google it. My problem right now is, by the time I pick up my phone to Google what I wanted to look up, I have forgotten what I was going to research. But you know what? There's going to be an app for that soon. How does this advancement in technology affect our faith? Some of the advantages are we have our Bible right there at our fingertips. I have an app that will give me every translation you could possibly imagine for the Bible. I have an app that has devotions, a prayer app. We can Zoom. I have groups that meet for Bible study via Zoom. I have a prayer group that meets Bible study. We've got all sorts of ways. We are streaming our services this morning, and there are people who are joining us as far as from Canada. That's amazing, the reach that we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world. That's one of the greatest things that the digital age is providing for our faith. But one of the most frustrating parts about it is, in order for this technology to work, you have to have a reliable connection. How many of us have sat in front of our television ready to stream our movie, and all of a sudden you get the little buffering? Or you sit down at your computer and it's updating, or it can't find the signal. It affects everything in our daily lives if there's not the right power source. No matter who your provider is, whether it's Spectrum, Verizon, Comcast, they just can't seem to keep up with the demand and the need. Because the more power that they give you, the more devices we have. We just got an update from Spectrum. It gave us a new modem with more power. And yet I still sat there watching a movie going like this, waiting for the internet to connect. Because we now have more devices in our home that are pulling from that power source. So what do we do when the little scrolling thing happens? Well, we've been taught to click the refresh button. You click refresh, and then you get the most updated, most recent. Doesn't always work, but sometimes. I was in a meeting with our worship planning team, and we all have our computers, and we're inputting information to prepare for the service, and I was not seeing what people were entering. And I said, I can't see it. Somebody in the meeting goes, click refresh. Hit the click refresh button, and there it all was. So we need to become familiar with that click refresh button. We have, for our faith, a great service provider. And that service provider never needs an update, never needs an upgrade, and has enough power and signal to care for an infinite number of devices. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that the power source is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are the ones, he never runs out of power, but we are the ones that have to click refresh a lot. Scriptures do not talk about this digital age, but what they do talk about is they talk about the present age and the age to come. For the Old Testament people, the present age is obviously now, what you're living in, and the age to come was based on the messianic promises and the prophecies. For those of us who experienced and celebrated the resurrection last week, it's a little bit different. The present age is today, but the age to come is the promise that Christ will come again, and he will bring the fullness of God's kingdom to this earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. But one small little change is that with the resurrection of Jesus Christ last week, the age to come has begun. His resurrection inaugurated God's kingdom coming on earth. And so, as followers of Christ, we live in the both and. We live in the present age and we live in the age to come, and it provides for us many challenges. So we're going to take a look at Scripture today to see how we click refresh and stay connected to our power source in this difficult time of living in the present and the age to come. So first, we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. And verse 1 and 2 this morning. And so in Romans 12, 1, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, the first part of the letter to the Romans defines and tells us all the things that God has done for us. That first part of the letter says that the wages of sin is death. But because of God's great love for us, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And his love, nothing can separate us from that. So Paul is talking about all the things that God has done for us. And then in chapter 11, it ends with a doxology. A doxology is a praise, and it seems like an ending. But it's an ending to that portion. It's an ending of saying, here is what God has done for you. And then Paul starts with, and so, in chapter 12, verse 1. In other translations, it says, therefore. I have a dear friend who used to say, wherever you see a therefore, you need to ask yourself, what is it there for? So the therefore is, here's all that God has done for you. He's offered you salvation from your sin through Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of this, here's what you need to do. We need to offer our lives as a living and holy sacrifice to God. We need to live every moment of every day as an act of worship for God. That's what we are to do in response to all that God has done for us. And he's not just talking about our physical bodies. He's talking about our whole being, our mind, our body, our spirit. All that we are is to be glorifying God. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, every moment of every day. I often have to click refresh throughout the day because I recognize that I have said something or I have thought something that would not be honoring to God. And I invite you to do the same. Paul says, I plead with you to be a living sacrifice. Other translations say, I urge you. But what he's really saying is, Please will you give your life to God? Will you live every moment of every day for God? This is our true act of worship. We are here this morning in corporate worship together, but our faith is much bigger than Sunday morning for an hour. God asks us to give our lives to him as an act of worship because of all that he has done for us. And then Paul goes on in chapter 12, verse 2, to say, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now the transformational process begins because we have given our life to God and he will begin to transform our mind to think as he thinks so that we know what his good and perfect will is. But remember, we are living in the present age and the age to come. We're in that liminal space. And you may have heard the adage, garbage in, garbage out. When you are programming a computer or you're entering data and information into a computer, whatever you put in is what you're going to wind up getting out in whatever calculations are created. So if you don't put in the right information, you're not going to receive the accurate information that you were looking for. Friends, there's a lot of garbage out there. One of the downfalls of this digital age is, yes, we have access to more information than we possibly could ever use. and it can become overwhelming. When I work with people with anxiety, I tell them to stop watching the news. Read the headlines, know what's going on in the world, but we are inundated 24 hours a day with news that drags us down and pulls us down, and sometimes is not always accurate. We have to be discerning. Click the refresh button. Let God be the processor through who all that information passes through. Because some of it is false. Some of it is unreliable. Anybody can put anything out there on the internet. You don't know where the sources are coming from all the time. People put things out there on Facebook, or they'll write a blog or an article. Even Wikipedia is not the most accurate, because I didn't know this until recently. Anybody can go into Wikipedia and change the information. We have to know what the reliable, trustworthy sources are, and God is the processor. Look for His truth in that information, because that's how scammers work. They put out this wonderful story or information that grabs your attention, and then they've got you hooked, and you share your personal information, and now you're in trouble. Let God be the processor. Don't be conformed by this world, but be transformed by God, who loves you, who created you, and who works for good in all things for you. So once we surrender our lives to God and we allow Him to transform our mind, what next? What does this God-transformed life look like? Well, if you continue reading in chapter 12 of Romans, Paul gives us examples of what this would look like. He goes on after he says, don't be conformed by this world, but let God transform your mind. He talks about how God gives us gifts. These gifts are from the Holy Spirit, and they are for the purpose of building up the kingdom of God, for encouraging and building up others. And so we are to use these gifts every day as we are the living sacrifices for God. And then he goes on to talk about how we are to love one another. In verse 9 and 10, Paul says this: don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. That's what it looks like as God transforms us. Paul goes on to talk about in verse 16 that we are to live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think that you know it all. And finally, in verse 18, he tells us that we are to do all that we can to live in peace with everyone. Now, I want you to think about the last time you watched the news, and some of the things that we're seeing happening across our nation and across our world. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we who are living in the age to come could be a witness to God's kingdom by living, using our gifts, loving one another, living at peace with one another. That's the witness this world needs to see. Because we see violence and dissension and hatred and anger. But we are living in the both and. And Paul warns us not to be conformed by this world, but to become the people of the age to come of God's kingdom. But this digital age has many advantages, but it can also provide us some difficult opportunities. It can hinder our faith if we are not careful. It can make us lazy and complacent. Sometimes it's too easy, and I don't think our faith is ever supposed to be easy. God calls us to be a living sacrifice, so building that relationship, keeping and maintaining that connection, just like in any relationship, takes work and intentionality. My spiritual practice for several years has been I get devotions on my phone, and I would actually, it'd be the first thing that I'd do in the morning, often before I even got out of bed, I would read the devotions that came to my phone. And then I started realizing that something was missing. What was also happening is I'd finish reading my devotions, I checked off that box, and then I'd go to Facebook, or I'd go to the news feed, or I might even play a couple of videos before I got out of bed. That is not doing everything to honor God. And so I was convicted of that, and so now my practice is I get up, I go into my den, I open a book, and I read my devotions, and I spend intentional time with God. Now, nothing against technology, because I still have my Bible reading plan in my phone, because that keeps me on track. Technology is a tool for our faith, but we can't become complacent and lazy and just check off the boxes. Okay, read my devotion today, moving on. Wanted to remind you that each day you need to click that refresh button multiple times, because if my new practice ever becomes stale again, I need to be aware that I need to click refresh. I need to do something new to keep the relationship, keep my connection with Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can't let that connect. I can't lose my connection. So it's important for us to find ways. And, you know, sometimes we think it has to be through the technology, but sometimes going old school is not bad either. I want to share with you a story. A friend who is in my Wednesday morning group, on Zoom, by the way, shared that she keeps everything on her phone. She has hundreds of scripture that are meaningful to her, that she shares with friends and family. She has notes that she has taken about scripture and from Bible studies, and she's got prayer requests, everything that she needs for her personal ministry and her personal faith walk is right here in this phone. One day that phone didn't work anymore. So she went to the Apple store. And here's all the young tech people, tech savvy, and she's explaining that the phone died and she needs her data and she needs her information. And after a couple of people tried to help her, the manager of the store, a 30-something tech savvy young man, came out and tried to help her. And he's looking at her phone and he's going through it, and she told him why this was so important. I have hundreds of scripture on that phone. I have notes. I have to have that data. I have to get my data. When she was talking, he stopped and he put down his phone, or put down her phone. And then he reached into his back pocket and he pulled out a little notebook wrapped in a rubber band. It looked well used. And he undid the rubber band up, and he showed her that it was filled with scripture. It doesn't matter how you connect with God, whether you use technology, and it really is not generational either, because my friend is a retired person, and here's a 30-something using a little notebook. Click refresh on your relationship with God. Whatever method it is that you need, the important thing is stay connected. So this morning, like Paul challenged us, I challenge you, I plead with you, I urge you, please will you click refresh on your relationship with Jesus today. I want you to think about one thing you could add to your daily routine, to your spiritual disciplines that will help you have a stronger signal, a stronger connection with God. Maybe it's reading the Word, spending more time in God's Word, taking that intentional time. Or maybe it's spicing up your prayer life, finding ways to do a prayer walk or to spend time in the chapel. Warren Wiersbe said this about prayer. He said, we will surrender our wills to God through disciplined prayer. And as we spend time in prayer, we surrender our will to God and we pray with the Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. We must pray about everything and let God have his way in everything. Or maybe you can find a new Bible study or a book to read that speaks to your heart and really helps you connect more strongly with God. I also encourage you to surround yourself with people with whom you can talk and wrestle with the hard things about being in this present age and the age to come, and how do we support one another and spur one another on to maintain our faith in this present age. However you choose to do it, you and God, just don't lose your connection. Click refresh. A lot. Hundreds of times. Stay close to Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and always. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are always right there. You are our power source. Forgive us when we just sit there and watch it buffer. Help us to refresh our relationship with you. Let us grow in our faith and let us share that with a world that so needs to hear your word. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.